Rog, how you been, mate?
Morning, guys. Middo, Clarky, Loz. I agree with you, Clarky.
Yeah, it's a tough one, buddy, isn't it? It's just not good, mate, for anyone involved at the moment. Here we are again, 4 years on, as Adam Penkilly just mentioned, and we're still talking about it. When's it going to go away?
Yeah, I think that's the... this is the ruthlessness of, I guess, of some media circles and just people that want to keep bringing up negativity now in sport in general, where there's so much good going on. There's so much, you know, the entertainment, the what they give to the fans and just the effort. I mean, everyone knows the effort that it takes to be an elite athlete and a sportsman at the moment, and just the output and commitments. And I just think we've got to start focusing on things that are going on in sport that are positive, so we can bring this, so we can bring a generation of young kids that are watching our sport through, you know, and through the lens of watching some real good stuff and listening and hearing some good stories, instead of actually being, you know, being in front of all this sort of stuff consistently and painting a different picture of the games that we all love watching.
Well, one positive in tennis is certainly Australia's efforts in the Davis Cup, as we made the final for the first time in a long time recently, lost to Canada in that final. What do you make of our efforts and performance? And also, certainly afterwards, Rog, Leighton Hewitt voiced his, I guess, frustrations in his efforts to try and get Nick Kyrgios to play.
Look, I think the boys obviously did a great job over there. The Davis Cup format now... Let's be honest, it sucks, really, yeah, because we don't actually get, you know, it's a watered-down, diluted version where you play in one space. And, you know, the fans, we've all watched at times or been lucky enough to be involved in Davis Cup and seen, you know, when Australia have taken on some big countries here in our homeland and those big epic days and comebacks when Nuke was on the, you know, was captain, when... You know, Rod Laver was playing, when Neil Fraser was captain, and Cashy was winning those memorable matches against Sweden. So those sort of things we don't get to see that and feel that, and that starts the, I guess, someone's journey, you know, as a young 5 or 6 year old watching sports. So the Davis Cup system it's not good, it doesn't work. But when the players are there, as you know, once you're a competitor and you're in the environment, you're locked in and loaded. And so they did a great job. And yeah, having Nick would have been a big plus, and everyone knows that. But you know, he's on his own journey, and I just think now if everyone's, you know, you've just got to, you know, if they get him at some point, great. I think the players have obviously they're very, you know, they're all aware of Nick. They're friends with him, so they know what comes with that. And if he's there and available, great. They've agreed that, you know, they're obviously going to take that position that we'll take him when he's available, and if not, we'll go out and we'll get out there and bat for ourselves.
Rog, is Leighton frustrated, do you think? Because I'm pretty sure Leighton's got a good relationship with Nick, but is he just voicing his disappointment that Nick's such a good player, he wants him a part of it, or do you think he's frustrated?
Probably a little bit of both, but okay. I just think more so, such a good player. Wow, we could have him in our ranks.
Yeah.
In those big matches and big occasions. What a weapon! And he does bring a lot of energy. You know, once he's in the team environment, he's proven he loves that space, that team environment. So I guess there's the frustration, but you know, but he also understands what it's about, and you've just got to roll with that. And as I said, if there's the time when he's there and he's available. That's just the nature of our sport, I think. And look, you know, remember Leighton and I guess a lot of the players, you know, whenever they've been honoured, given the honour of being selected and playing for your country, you jump as high as they ask, and you just move everything to actually put yourself in that space. And I think we've all seen that through all of us, but the codes, you guys would have gone through it as well. And so I think there's probably lies a little frustration. It's a little bit... it's not playing out that way, I guess. Mm.
Let's look forward with the men's tennis this year coming up, Rog. Have we seen the changing of the guard, do you think, with this now young 19-year-old Carlos Alcaraz winning the US Open and then, you know, finishing the year as the number one ranked tennis player in the game.
Yeah, and he's got the legend behind him in Nadal at number two. It is, Loz, it's exciting. I think we all want, you know, in sport you want, you, obviously you've got your generation champions, and we've got some old timers that have stayed through generations and are into their third generation of a playing group. We're excited by what's coming up. Alcaraz obviously has had a fantastic year. He wins the US Open in that dramatic form. And, he pitted out at the end. You would get tired if you were 19 and you're sticking your chest out every day and making your way up the top of the tree. And I think, you know, we've got Casper Ruud and we've got a couple of other guys, Felix, Azu-Alassime, who's actually, you know, he's Canadian, who's played really well and, has got him some of the top 10 players in the world and finished really strongly. Exciting young player. So this young sort of 19, 20 age bracket, they're getting involved and getting involved pretty early, which is an exciting thing. And I think it's really important that some of those, because we've missed a couple of generations where they just haven't been able to get involved in the Nadal, Federer, Novak, Murray conversation and break through anywhere through there and quite rightly so, because those four guys have been superstars of our game. So that is exciting, and so we look forward to what the year brings. But as good as this younger generation is coming up and they play exciting tennis, if I asked you who was the favourite, here's your $10, who are you putting on as favourite for the Australian Open?
I'd say Novak again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
Novak.
Exactly. Yeah. And if I said to you, sure, roll the, you know, let's fast forward 6 months and go to the French Open, and who's your favourite at the French for next year? I think we're all saying Nadal. So
yeah, so true.
So it's quite interesting, isn't it? They're still in our eyes. They're still probably the two favourites of the first two majors.
But if he could win the Australian Open, this young bloke Alcaraz, I think. We would start to be thinking, well, their time is over. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think Novak for sure. Novak's back end of the year was brilliant. So I think he's going to be, his ranking's not one in the world, but he's in my eyes, I think he's the number one player in the world. Yep. You know, he's just missed a lot of tournaments. He wasn't able to play some majors, so the Australian Open and US Open. So, but his back end, he was definitely out, Novak, for... to show the world that I'm the best player in the world, as he was swallowing up a lot of the tournaments at the back end of the year. So that's the exciting thing on the women's side of the fence. It was probably a golden year of tennis with Swiatek. She's number one in the world. She took over, you know, when Ash Barty. It's a long time. Geez, it's a long time when Ash played the Australian Open and won, isn't it? It seems like a long time ago, but and then made an announcement to retire. But since then, Swiatek's taken that mantle and put herself at number one in the world. She won 10 events this year, US Open, Roland Garros, and, you know, she had a 67-9 win-loss record for the year. It's one of those remarkable, remarkable stellar seasons where if that was in the Roger Federer time, you would have just, you know, you would have sat down and had to take a breather and say, wow, what have we just witnessed? So quite remarkable what she's been able to do. And it was really important, I think, for someone in the women's game to dominate the game like that and put themselves up there and actually take hold of the game and lead the charge. And then we've got some other young players around her. Ons Jabeur, who's number two player in the world, who really stepped up as well. So we're seeing some excitement, I think, through the two tours, which are going to come to Australia in January. Because we've got some different players turning up and we're seeing their characters, they're coming out, they're winning events, major events. So we're learning a bit more about this new crop of players that are coming out and leading the game.
Rod, you mentioned Ash Barty. I know she's retired, but mate, she's still heavily involved with Tennis Australia, and will we see her around this summer?
Yeah, look, yes, for sure. I'm not sure on how heavily she'll be involved in the summer, because she definitely wants to get involved with, I know, young kids and try and lead that, you know, that charge of actually inspiring the young and into the game. And I guess just into into sport, really. You know, when you, I think you've got to look a little bit broader. If you're bringing them into the game of tennis, that's great. But just in the engagement in sport and what it does and the pathways that it generates, it's not necessarily just hitting the ball. So, yep, she is very much involved, and we've got a big calendar coming up, and with the teams event in the first couple of weeks of the year, first 10 days of the year, but also we've got a loaded event here in Adelaide where I am with Novak playing here as well, Medvedev, Rublev, Sinner, you know, some guys, you know, so I think we've got four guys in the top 10 and six guys in the top 20 that'll be turning up to Adelaide the first week. So, it's an exciting year looking forward, and the Australians have served themselves really well over the course of the year. So I think we're just going to really get an entertaining couple of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of tennis.
No doubt. We'll chat through the lead up to the Australian Open. Rog, thanks so much.
Well, it's just quickly, when's the Christmas break? When do you get out there and put on 20 kilos and lose it?
Well, we're going to have a Christmas party tomorrow, Rog.
Next Friday.
But next Friday is the last day. So tomorrow will be a big day for us when we get off air. So, you know, the party starts at midday. If you want to fly out.
I'd like to. I'll just get the private.
After party, back at Clark.
Yeah. More than Clarkie,
will you get into? Will you be in the gym tomorrow before the big day or after?
Most
the big day?
Definitely. I will be radio, yeah. Gym, drink till I spew. How's that for your Friday special? Hope you're enjoying your Weet-Bix.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good. You got some rhythm there.
That'll be in the Daily Mail tomorrow.
I reckon I got a plan in place.
No, I'm going to take that nutrition plan.
Diet of an athlete, buddy. Diet of an athlete.
Yeah, a bit of both.
Yeah, what do they say, Rog? There's a steak sandwich at every VB.
Exactly right.
There you go. See, it takes all kinds.
Thank you, Rog.
See you, buddy.
See you, boys.